Welcome to the Humans in AI podcast, powered by AI Frontier Network. I'm your host, Flor Laorga. Each episode, we dive into the human story shaping artificial intelligence through the journeys of entrepreneurs, builders, and leaders. We explore the insights, challenges, and visions for the future of AI and humanity. Let's uncover the human side of AI together. Hello, Andy. Thank you very much for joining us to the podcast, Humans in AI, hosted by AI Frontier Network and by me, Flor. I appreciate you accepted the invitation, so it's very great. Yeah, so I would like to start from the roots of everything and of your career. I've been doing a little bit of research as well. I got some information about you that you built a lot of companies like many years ago. So I found it very impressive because I know how hard it is to build a company. So I'm really like to talk about this. But my main motivation about this question is more about what is the main motivation for you to build companies instead of working for someone else? What is the drive or the thing that kind of make you be so driven to know I want to build my company? That's very interesting.
So I grew up with two entrepreneurs as parents. Both my mom and my dad started companies. And so I grew up thinking that was just normal. That's how all families do it. My dad invented the touch screen, which you now have on your phones and iPads and things. That touch screen my dad invented way, way back in the day, a company called Personal Touch. And my mom is known as the mother of Silicon Valley. She's the first woman to ever start a tech company, grow it, IPO it, and have it a huge success starting from scratch. And so that's what I grew up with. Both my parents, it seems so easy. My mom could do it. My dad could do it. I could do it too.
Yeah. Actually, yes, because you grew up in the Silicon Valley, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's so cool. That's amazing. Actually, but didn't expect that actual answer. Like, it's just because my parents, that's so cool. Yeah. I think it's, but actually you like building so many things that I'm like, how he does it? Like how he did everything started. Yeah. Yes, you're the CEO and founder of Pearl, right? That's what I understood. Just correct me if I'm a mistake. In this company, you combine a lot of AI and human expertise. How do you combine it and why do you combine it that way?
Essentially, there's reasons why humans are necessary in the world. And there's this great new technology called AI that can do so many cool and amazing things as well. And I'm a big believer in the combination of the two and trying to put the two together to get the best of both. So the way that we do it is we focus, first of all, on professional services. So doctors, lawyers, mechanics, accountants, tech support, these kinds of professionals. And we build tools for them that enable them to deliver better, faster, cheaper solutions to their customers and do it and deliver the services in a way that gets rid of all the grunt work. So a typical lawyer, for example, spends about 17% of their time doing actual human legal judgment work, and the other 83% of their time doing sales and marketing and billing and customer service and administration. And they typically hate that stuff. And so AI plus humans are pretty good at doing all those things. So we've built out systems to help them do all those things. And so just a big believer in human plus AI combined.
Yeah, I do so. Me too. I really love it. I think it makes your life easier, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
How do you think they work the best, this combination of AI and human expertise? What is the best way for like you think, your perspective, how they work the best?
Yeah. So I think that was a good example, this lawyer situation, 17% actual human judgment, and the other 83%, they're spending their time on stuff they usually don't like. If you went to veterinary school, they didn't teach you to be a salesperson or a marketing person or an accountant. They taught you to be a great veterinarian, to take care of pets. And that's what you want to do. That's what you love to do. That's what you're great at doing. And I believe that in our society, we should be letting them do that. And there's other people that are good at all that other stuff. And AI can help with some of those other things. And so that's how we've set things up, to really let the human flourish in the parts that they're great at and love, and let the AI plus humans, we have humans as well, doing things like customer service and billing and other functions. And we use a combination to support those human professionals. We've essentially built
Definitely.
5 agents, a sales agent, a marketing agent, a billing agent, a customer service agent, and an admin agent that does all that work for the professional.
What do you think about AI agents? Talking about AI agents now, or agents, but.
Yeah, so I think agents are great. I think the goal of an agent is to actually be able to do more sophisticated set of things for people. And I think that's the right direction for this technology to be going. Now, with that said, there's a lot of problems with agents as well. Now, let's start with the problems with AI. So there's actually three fundamental problems with AI. Problem number one, quality. Different estimates from different sources. Our estimates in professional services is that the AI is wrong about 37% of the time. We've seen other sources anywhere from 50% to 25, 22% wrong, which isn't that big of a deal if you're just using it to write a poem or to write an email and then you can edit the email. But when you're dealing with professional services, lawyers, doctors, 37%, 22%, even 10%, even 5% wrong could be deadly. And in professional services, quality really matters a lot. And so that's problem number one with these foundational models, the quality, the hallucinations, they call it. Problem number two is the risk. So what Supreme Court justices are saying, what law scholars and law journals are all saying is that when an AI gives you an answer, they're liable. So if you ask a medical question to ChatGPT or Google Gemini or Anthropic Claude or any of these foundational models, and they say, "Oh, don't worry, that's not cancer, everything's going to be fine," and then it turns out it is cancer and you die, that is Google's fault. So this is a part of the story that has not played out all the way yet. There's a bunch of lawsuits that are working their way through the court systems today. But I think that's a big part of the story that's going to emerge as a big deal over the next couple of years. So risk. So first problem is quality, second problem is risk, and then third problem is monetization. And as most of the companies in the AI world are losing money hand over fist unless their name is NVIDIA, and that's going to change at some point. They're all going to start having to figure out how to make money, and that's going to mean a completely different business models and ads and all kinds of other things that they've got to figure it out and they haven't figured out yet. And so bringing that all back to agents, I love agents. I think agents are great. I think they are the future. And the only thing worse than an AI that hallucinates 37% of the time is stacking a bunch of AIs on top of each other that each hallucinate 37% of the time. That can lead to a lot of damage. So if you want an AI agent to book a flight for you or something, it's got to do a number of different tasks. Each of those tasks have hallucinations and makes mistakes. And when you stack mistakes on top of mistakes, instead of going to Paris, you end up in Auckland, Australia, and there's all kinds of problems can come from that. So you've got to be done very carefully. And so that's one of the reasons we still use humans in the loop, even with our agents.
Yeah, definitely. I think that humans still need it. Even though that we see every day many news about, oh, your job is gonna be AI will take your job, whatever. But I feel like
Right.
still we have some time still. Okay,
Yeah.
calm down. But the hype is sales. So,
That's
so
right.
as a person who has a lot of entrepreneurial experience, so I would like you to share, if you want, any story or special experience that you would like to share with the audience. That influenced you a lot in your journey as an entrepreneur, something, it doesn't have to be very personal, but a story or experience that you really define your expertise and also your wisdom in this field of
Yeah.
crazy entrepreneurship journey.
Yeah, the first story I'll share is how I got started in this in w with this with Pearl.com, and that was when my wife Sarah was pregnant with our first daughter, and she had lots of questions being pregnant for the first time, and she called her doctor, and her doctor didn't have time for her. It's too busy. And she was worried and stressed and had a baby and was baby going to be okay? And I had just sold my second company and I thought, hey, we need to figure out a way to get Sarah a doctor whenever she needs one. And that's how this whole venture started. Pearl.com was with a real human personal need. And I think that's how a lot of entrepreneurs start their businesses. And I hope that's how they start their businesses, is from a real human need that they find in their lives. And that's how I got started as well. So that's one story. I'll tell you another story since you asked a little bit more about kind of advice for entrepreneurs. And that is about values and culture. When I've started a few companies now and over my career, and one of my biggest lessons is how important values and culture are. I'll tell you a story with my second company that was sold and I did well with. We grew very fast. We raised venture capital and we're growing very fast. And I was like, go, hustle, hustle. Let's build this great company. And I didn't stop to think about culture and values and what kinds of people I wanted on my team, what kinds of culture I wanted for my company. And we hired very fast. We hired lots of people. And one day I woke up in the morning and I didn't want to go to work. I'm the founder. I'm the CEO. I'm the one that's supposed to be the first one to work and the most excited to go to work. And I didn't want to go to work. And I was, why is that? Why don't I want to go to work today? This is a bad. And I looked at my schedule for the day and I had all these meetings with all these people that we'd hired that were just not good cultural fits. They were great people, but just not fits for our culture. And so that is so important to set out in advance what kind of culture you want, what kind of people you want. And everybody's different and every company's different. And that's good and that's okay. And you got to figure out what is that unique thing that you care about and you want in your own culture, because people like to be around other people that have a similar cultural values like that. And so that's one of my biggest lessons, is the value and the importance of culture.
So that's what would you say that you will like most AI founders to embrace this philosophy of focus on what you want, your values and your culture more than, for example, no more like just goes beyond than just, okay, move fast and break things faster, like kind of the lean startup world. You're in the
Yeah.
startup world in Silicon Valley, right? So everything is moving very fast. Everything is happening very fast and very
Yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I think a lot of companies, especially when they're growing fast and are hiring fast, and you find somebody that, oh, they can do that accounting job. They have the resume that does that accounting job. But you don't think about the culture and are they going to fit in with your culture, for example. Do they need to not just be good at accounting, but do they need to be able to be innovative over time as the world changes? And so if you aren't thinking about that in advance, you're not hiring for that, and you're going to end up with an accountant that's perfect for today. And then 6 months from now, the AI is going to change and they're not going to be able to keep up.
Yeah, definitely. Are you a bit scared about how things move that fast? And every day there's a new company, a new product, new AI, something happening. What do you think about
Yeah.
that? Do you feel like there's a lot of noise, or it's really happening? Or what is your perspective about that, for example?
Yeah, I think it's just, oh, because I've been an entrepreneur for, I guess it's almost about 30 years now. I've seen this movie before. We saw the dot-com days where everything was felt like this, and every dot-com had no revenue and lots of visitors and was the hottest thing, and the internet was brand new and it was so exciting, and everybody, new companies popping up every hour and raising tons of money. And so we've seen that. We saw that then. We saw that with the advent of social. We saw that with the advent of mobile. We've seen that movie many times now. And they go through a very predictable pattern. The Gartner Group, which made famous the hype cycle. And we're in another hype cycle here. And where exactly are we on that hype cycle? We're somewhere in the first half, definitely not in the second half of that hype cycle. And I think it's really important to keep a level head and perspective. Most of these companies that are popping up right now are raising money and everything seems so exciting, but they're almost all losing money and most of them won't last. And so the ones that have really thought ahead and have figured out a way to be unique and sustainable and not just have an exciting new technology, but something that's sustainable and something that can have a business model attached is what usually wins in the end.
So you think still, because everything that's happening is very fast, and as you've been in this world of entrepreneurship for quite a long, like not you're not old, so it's not like you've been forever, but it's like
Thank
quite a
you.
long time, right? At least
Yeah.
for me. So you say that you see the same pattern. Do you see the same pattern as the behavior of the founders as well, or like? With AI, it's changed a little bit, or it's the same founders. We are still humans, even though there's like all the startups right now is mostly with AI and tech related.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same pattern. It's the same pattern. Lots of hype, lots of excitement, lots of fundraising, lots of people thinking they're going to revolutionize the world. Not all of them will. Some will, some won't. This technology, just like the others, just like the internet, just like the mobile phone, just like even social media, just like the cloud, right? These have all been revolutionary technologies and have made a big impact in the world. But we're still in the exploratory phase of which companies and which entrepreneurs will end up being successful and which will not.
Yeah, that's very interesting because you've seen so much. So it's kind of, you don't get like kind of the lost sometimes. I see so many news, so many things, and it's so much noise that I'm like, oh my God, I'm what I'm doing. Like, I have to do something else because you get
Yeah.
there a bit stuck in all the noise. So that's very nice. I know that you've been like building as well. You like to build kind of as well communities, right? Like marketplaces or not. That's what I've
Yes.
seen as well. I feel like in with community, do you, what is the values that you put in your communities when you build those? It is the values because as we said, as you said before, like you'd said about that, the values and the culture of a company is very important. At the end of the day, your company is your community, right? It's the people that you're leading and you all together are building the company at the same time. So what are the
Yeah.
values that you think are the most important to lead a company?
Let's see, there's a couple questions in there. In terms of what values are the most important to lead a company, I think it really depends on the company and the culture and the founder and the initial team. And I think that is an exercise in and of itself, just like picking your strategy or picking your mission statement or picking your values is just as important as those other things. And each company's different, right? One strategy company, OpenAI strategy is different than Ford's strategy is different than Coca-Cola's strategy, and their values are different as well, the kinds of people that they want. And so it's important for companies to figure out what are their values. And once you have some people, it becomes a little bit easier because you can ask them, hey, what makes us different than all the other companies you've worked at before? And what's better, what's worse, and what's the picture of what is the value that makes up us and our culture? So I don't think there's one answer for all companies on that one. And then the other thing I'll say, just more to my philosophy, which I hope that some others will adopt, is I'm on team human. So we've got all this AI stuff. It's amazing. We love AI. We are a power user of AI. We're buying over a billion tokens a day from multiple different foundational model companies, and we're doing a ton of AI. And we are 100% team human and really trying to get our figure out how to both humans on our staff, employees, but also our human experts have an important role to play in this future. And it's going to be a hybrid. It's going to be a combo of AI plus human and just really putting those two wonderful ingredients together to get the best outcomes for customers.
So talking about customers and per your company, so what kind of values are your users, customers getting from your community, your company?
Yeah. Our customers typically get, so we have two customers essentially. We've got the professionals and we've got the buyers and sellers, essentially, just like any other marketplace, just like Uber, just like Lyft, just like eBay, just Etsy, et cetera. Our sellers are professionals and our buyers are typically consumers, small businesses. And the consumers, so I'll start with the professionals. The professionals get full automation and outsourcing of everything except for the actual human expert judgment piece, that 17% of human judgment. We do the sales, we do the marketing, we do the customer service, we do the billing, we do the admin, which means as a professional, I show up on your platform and customers start to flow in the door. Revenue starts to flow in the door to me as a professional. I don't have to do that marketing. I don't have to do that sales. I don't have to do any of that. I just help customers and help people all day long, which is great. So they love that. That's our mission, by the way, as a company. Our mission is to help people. So we love helping these professionals help people as well. And what does that mean? That means they're able to be much more efficient in helping people. So that means they can charge less to consumers and to buyers. That means they can serve more of them and still make just as much money, if not more, doing what they love. So customers get to talk to a lawyer, get to talk to a doctor for faster and cheaper than they would otherwise.
Do you find that people prefer the AI or humans when they're using your marketplace?
They like, well, so they prefer humans for sure. People like humans. They also prefer having the AI help the humans so that the humans can respond to them faster and more thoughtfully, more fully. So I'll give you an example of something that we learned early on. Let's say you have a tech problem with your computer. And let's say the answer is you just have to reboot your computer, restart. That's sometimes the answer to computers, especially if you have a Windows machine. Customers hated that when it was that answer. Three-word answer, reboot your computer. I paid money for that. Didn't like that. Even though it's true, even though it's right, even though that fixed their computers, really, that doesn't feel. So what we did was we added AI into the mix, and and the AI helped the expert turn that correct answer into a much more full and thoughtful answer, which is okay. Here's what we're going to do. First thing you do is save all your work. Second thing, step two, step three, step four, step five. And now you're going to restart your computer. And now we're going to double check, is it working? Everything working? Let's confirm. So just a much more full, thoughtful answer. The answer, the crux of the answer is still the same, restart your computer, but just much more thoughtful, much more empathetic. And so that's one example of a nice way to take an AI and a human together to get to a better outcome.
That's a very interesting perspective, and actually, I agree with that. But I would like to ask you, what do you think about trust? We talked a little bit in the beginning about trust as well, but do you think that the users, as professionals, or the consumers, do you think that they will, like, in a few years, the trust in AI? Because there are many people who are very skeptical with AI and machines, I think, because they want the human touch, the human connection. So, do you think that with time, people will start relying, not relying, because they're already doing that indirectly. Maybe they don't even realize it, but they do it. But trust. I thought that I found this kind of thing about the trust that people have a lot of, there's a lot of big, like 50-50, right? Some people are like, yes, they trust 100% AI. Some people don't. So, how do you think that's a challenge for your company, or how is it?
So people trust human experts, right? You trust your doctor, you trust your lawyer, you trust your mechanic, you trust your veterinarian. And so that's the gold standard of trust. And that's what we bring to the table through all of the professionals. AI has proven to be not as trustworthy, right? It's got lots of hallucinations. It makes mistakes. And the things that you can see, you could see the obvious mistakes in the things that you don't understand, like medicine, right? I'm not a doctor. I'm guessing you're not a doctor. If you ask a medical question and you get an answer back, you don't know if it's right or not because you're not a doctor. And so, should you trust that? Should you not trust that? We know that it makes things up, right? It tells people to put rocks on their pizza and kill themselves and all kinds of crazy things that AI has been saying to people. And that doesn't seem to be getting better. In fact, it seems to be getting worse. In the new OpenAI versions 03, versions 03 hallucinates more than 01. So it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And it's a big problem in areas that are important, like professional services, like doctors, lawyers, etc.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I personally trust a lot AI. Like, I ask everything to ChatGPT. And I think you do it too, right? It's giving me, like, I feel like super smart, but yeah, the hallucinations are big too, and worse. So, That's very interesting because it's which we I think that we would trust more, but at the same time works worse. So how that's gonna work?
Yeah. So I think it's all about how you use it and what you use it for. It's a tool. It's a hammer, right? If you want to use a hammer for a nail, it works great. But if you start using hammers for screws, it's not going to do so well, or for glass or anything else. And so how do we use AI? I use it all the time as well. I use it to do research. I use it as a thought partner. I use it to help me write emails and write poems for family dinners or whatever I use it for. And then I also use it for more serious things, right? So if I want to use it for a medical issue or a legal issue, for example, I might get the answer from AI, but I'll read it more skeptically. And I might get some ideas from that, but I'm still going to my doctor. I'm not going to cut out my doctor because of that. I'm not going to cut out the lawyer because of that. I'm just going to be more informed as a consumer when I go to my doctor.
100%. Because actually,
Yeah.
even AI tells you, hey, as your doctor, don't
That's right.
trust me 100% as a doctor. So actually, it's a good point. I'm gonna ask a few less questions as well. I wanna go a bit deeper. So I'm gonna ask you, I really like what you are doing with your company, Pearl. I found it very interesting and very relevant. And I really like it. The whole healthcare, I think, is very important for humans. So
Yep.
with the company that you are building, what's the deepest human impact you're hoping to create?
What's the deepest what?
Deeper human impact.
Oh, deepest human impact I'm hoping to create. So this professional services industry of doctors, lawyers, mechanics, etc., it's about a $3.3 trillion market globally. And I believe that about a third of that is going to go to AI. Completely replaced. People are going to use it for AI, and they're not going to ever then see a professional anymore. I think about a third of it is going to be about the same. Same as today. You're still going to pay the lawyer or whatever that you would have anyway. And then another third of it is going to be this new human plus AI combination. That's where we play, and that's what we're bringing to the table. And I'll give you an example of those three scenarios. Let's say you need a will in case you die, where's your money and your assets going to go? If you're 22 years old, the ChatGPT or Gemini version that they might create for you might be good enough. Okay, I got a free will. Is it going to hold up in court? Is it perfect? No, but it's probably good enough for me for now because I'm too young. I don't think I'm going to die anytime soon. So there you go. No lawyer, just AI. Now, the other end of the spectrum is my parents, maybe, or me. I've got a more complicated situation. I would not use AI to write that document for me, a will for me. I need to hire lawyers and pay them a lot of money, thousands and thousands of dollars, to do it right. Because if one mistake could cost me way more than that. And so I'm paying a lot of money for lawyers to do it the old-fashioned way. Which brings us to this third option, where it's the best of both worlds. I can get AI to write the first drafts, go through that, get familiar with this, and have an expert, a lawyer in this case, review it. Maybe only charge me $100 instead of the thousands and thousands of dollars. Make sure it's going to hold up in court, that it's a real, legit document that will work. And that's where we're very focused, is on that third scenario, the humans plus AI combined, giving very reasonably priced solutions to customers that are just as good, if not better, than either one or the other by themselves.
Nice, I like it. Thank you for sharing.
Of
So
course.
I've got a last question for you, and it's a bit open question. It's basically, I would like to ask you if you will, yeah, if you want to share something that we haven't talked about, or something that personal or professional or story that you would like to share, or advice that, yeah, feel free. It's a kind of open question for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I think our mission, as I shared earlier, is three words. We help people. And I'm very proud of what we're doing with Pearl.com. You can go to Pearl.com. Anybody can go to Pearl.com, ask a question. You'll get an AI answer from an AI that is 22% better than ChatGPT and better than Google Gemini in professional services. So like for medical and legal questions. So you'll get a great AI answer. And for free, you can even have a real live expert, a doctor, lawyer, mechanic, etc., read that conversation, read the AI answer, and then give it a trust score. Yes, you could trust that 5 out of 5. No, you can't trust that 1 out of 5, 3 out of 5, et cetera. And that's all free. And then if you want to, you can then talk with that lawyer, talk with that doctor. And that's an option that we make available. And of course, you can pay for that if you want to do that. But for free, you can get a great AI answer for these medical and legal and important kinds of issues, as well as get a human expert to verify the accuracy of that answer today on pearl.com.
Thanks, Andy. It's been great this time with you. I have a good time. I've learned a lot about your company. I learned a lot about you and about. I loved all the advices that you gave because you have a lot of own journey of experience in entrepreneurship, a startup world as well, I would say. So,
Thank you.
yeah, thank you very much.
Of course, thank
Thank
you,
you for
Flora. I've
joining.
enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the Humans in AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.